Well, we're going to cover a topic today from a totally different perspective than I'm sure you've ever heard. And over the years, I've been accused of preaching things that were not true. And you are going to walk away today going, there's no way. I invite you to do the research on it because we are living in weird times. Am I right? Things are changing rapidly. Things that we thought would never be the norm are becoming the norm. And religions are picking up the abnormal and declaring them to be new doctrines. And it's just all crazy out there. And so when I speak to you about giving today, this is a holiday message. We're just going to have fun today, but serious. It's going to be a lot to take in. I can't believe I'm preaching this message. I never thought that in the 30 years that I have been a pastor that these things would be something that you need to address your congregation about. Because it's out there. And it's becoming mainstream. And it will be a part of the end time deception. And so what I want to do today, the topic is generous giving, and we're in the I Will series. But what I want to do is paint us a background before we paint the subject. All right? Kind of like, remember Bob Ross? Yeah, I'm not that guy. The joy of painting, he would always paint the background, and then he would come out toward the front to paint his subject. That's what I'm going to do today. And I want to bring this in the background of the last days. We are in the last days. I think everybody gets that, right? We are in the last days. It's very near. I don't know how near. People ask me, well, when did the last days start? Well, according to the book of Hebrews, the last days began when Jesus Christ came to the earth. So we have been in the last days for the last 2,000 years. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:1, God, who in different times and past manners spoke to us in different ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. So we are in the last days, have been for a long time, and I believe that we are in the terminal generation based on the words of Jesus that says this generation will not pass until they see the coming of the Son of Man, speaking about the rebirth of Israel. And so when Jesus would preach about the last days, he would liken the last days to two things. He would say it's like the days of Lot and it's like the days of Noah. And he would say it will be just like that. And I think that we can clearly see we are living in the days of Noah and Lot. But one of the things that we have not spoken about a lot as it comes to the days of Noah is something that's starting to come to the forefront. Let me show you what this is. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. It says that this is the story of Noah. This is antediluvian. By that we mean that it's before the flood. This is the condition of the world before the flood. And it says here, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. In the Hebrew, I believe it's Barith Elohim, sons of God, fallen angels. Most people believe that these are fallen angels. This is antediluvian. You remember that God threw Satan out, and he drew all a third of the angels. He threw them down to the earth. And Peter talks about there were a number of angels that left their first estate, probably what they were doing. And I know this sounds just so weird, but it's biblical that these sons of God were cohabitating with daughters of men, and they were producing giants. I don't want to get into the whole giant thing. Why was God so mean in the Old Testament telling you that you had to kill all these people? Well, it's probably because they were descendants of these fallen angels. And it's possible. It happened. And so when the Bible says that just before the coming of the Son of Man happens, you know, we get caught up in they were marrying, they were given in marriage, the earth was full of violence, and we're doing all that. However, one of the things that was happening right before Noah the flood was there was this huge rise in demonic activity and a huge attention on these. Now, let me say this, because this is where we're going to head. The issue of aliens. I don't think there are aliens, all right, but there are fallen angels and demons, amen? And they can present themselves that way, and so that's what's happening here. Now, interestingly enough, it says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. Eric von Daniken in 1968 picks up on this Bible text and he writes a book called The Chariots of the Gods. I don't know if you're familiar with this book. Eric von Daniken is not a believer. He's totally not a believer, but he picks up on this idea and he says in his book, once again, we have the sons of God who interbreed with human beings. Here too, we have the first mention of giants. Giants keep cropping up in all parts of the globe. In the mythology of the East and the West and the sages of the Tiahunaco and the pictures of the Eskimos, giants haunt the pages of almost all ancient books, so they must have existed, Mount von Daniken says. What sort of creatures were they, these giants? Were they our forefathers who built these gigantic buildings and effortlessly manhandled monoliths? So von Daniken is saying these ancient giants were how they built these pyramids. I mean, we're asking the question, how were these guys moving all these big stones? And they've uncovered axes. Now, this is just plain old archaeology. Look it up. This is not science fiction from a science book. They've uncovered axes that are 6 and 8 feet tall that a man would handle. And there's no way that men our size could have handled those. There were giants. We hear about David slaying Goliath. He was a giant. We know that when Israel went into the Canaanites, they looked into Canaan, and what did they say? The land is full of giants. We were the size of a grasshopper to them. So this is all real, and von Daniken comes to his conclusion. His conclusion is that they were technically skilled space travelers from another star. That's his conclusion. I bet you never thought you'd hear this in church today, did you? I'm going to show you how mainstream this is. It's on Fox News. I'll show you a clip in a minute. This is not conspiracy theory. It's on Fox News. And the Catholic Church is heavily involved in it. No question. So when we turn on the History Channel nowadays, we have shows like this, Ancient Aliens. How many of you have ever watched this show? It's interesting. The whole concept is von Daniken's concept that since Darwin told us that we have evolved and there's no God, we have to explain our existence. We call this panspermia. In other words, the aliens from all over the universe threw their seed at this planet and we evolved. And so at some point, the aliens visited us. And you're like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let me finish. Because this is a part of the huge deception that's going on. Because if the History Channel plays it, it must be true. Right? And in my opinion, this is all a conditioning of the mind to accept what's coming on the earth. And interestingly enough, some people say that when they look at Luke 21, when Jesus says, you're going to need to pray that you escape what's coming on the earth, some people say, was he referring to something that came from outer space to the earth? Again, I don't believe in aliens. I think that God created the earth. It's just a whole bunch of theologically different problems. But not everybody thinks that, and the world certainly doesn't. And so we have this idea of we have to go to the stars. Since there is no God, we have to go to the stars and see where we started. And in 2012, this movie picked up that theme, and it was a very popular movie. I want you to see this. Notice what they're saying here.
I was wrong. It was so wrong.
See what that said? They went looking for our beginning. And that's Prometheus, the movie, is about going to find out where we came from. And believe it or not, Hollywood is a part of the conditioning of making the masses ready for these things. Movies like Prometheus, movies like The Hunger Games, movies like all those things, We have been so indoctrinated that it's going to be so easy to be seduced, the Bible talks about, by these beings from outer space, and oh my goodness, look at this, and oh, this is not science fiction anymore, and we just got a message from heaven and all of that, and you say, okay, well, that's for all the science geeks, but I'm going to tell you that the Catholic Church is heavily involved in this. Do your research. This is Brother Guy Cosmalmagno. Can't even hardly say it, but he is the senior Vatican scientist. And he said that he would be delighted if we encountered intelligent aliens and would be happy to baptize them. Did you know that the Vatican has an observatory? Did you know that? And here's the leading scientist on it. His pronouncement opens up the possibility of space missionaries heading out to the stars to convert aliens to Christianity. Speaking on the eve of addressing the British Science Festival, Dr. Cosmalmagno said he had no problem with science and religion coexisting together, but he dismissed creationism and claimed that the revival of intelligent design, the controversial theory that only, it's funny, intelligent design, the controversial theory. No controversy to me. God created the heavens and the earth. He declares that it was bad theology. He says that he is comfortable with the idea of alien life and asked if he would baptize an alien. He said only if they would ask. So this is becoming a part of the deception. You say there's no way. Look it up. He went on to say, about Jesus, perhaps it's not so far-fetched to see the second person of the Trinity, the Word, who was present in the beginning, coming to lay down his life and take it up again, John 10:18, not only as the Son of Man, but also as a child of other races. Talking about other planets, aliens. You're like, wow, I mean, what is this setting up? I think it's pretty apparent what it's setting up. It's going to set up an idea, in my opinion, when the rapture happens. How are you going to explain the disappearance of a lot of people? Especially when you have Pope Francis, who, this is a remarkable thing, a pope resigns, first one in 600 years, this guy takes over, and I can tell you Pope Francis is dialed into this big time. Big time. I don't know if you know this or not. The curator of the Pope's meteorite collection, he's a trained astronomer, this guy, he's a planetary scientist at the Vatican's observatory. Here's what it says. He says, the Vatican is very aware of what's going on in a world of science. The Pontifical Academy of Science, of which Stephen Hawking is a member, kept the senior cardinals and the Pope up to date with the latest scientific developments, he says. So Stephen Hawking is influencing these guys. In 1997, Father Malachi Martin says this on a radio interview, Coast to Coast. He says this: because the mentality amongst those who are at the highest levels of Vatican administration and geopolitics know what's going on in space and what's approaching us could be of great import in the next 5 years to 10 years. What's that? I mean, you know, we're talking about the Catholic Church picking up this idea. And do you know how many people follow the Catholic Church to where all it would take is a pope to say, we've contacted intelligent life, they're here, they're our brothers and sisters? You're like, all right, preach, you're getting this off of some conspiracy theory website, aren't you? Well, no, I'm not. Let's watch this clip on Fox. Here we go.
82? Lizzie here on the floor tells us that's the year she was born. We could not talk life on other planets without the classic clip from E.T. right there. Interestingly, the Vatican. Just finishing up is the Vatican now, a five-day conference on aliens. Father Jonathan Morris, Fox News contributor, back with us. Father, good morning to you.
What a great movie that was.
It was a wonderful movie. Drew Barrymore and off she went. Did the Vatican find alien life?
You know what? As sensationalistic as that question sounds, it's really not that far off from what we've seen in the news over these last days. The pictures of what might have been Pope Benedict standing on the roof of the Sistine Chapel looking for UFOs, that's the type of images that this news conjures up. What is exceptional is that the Vatican was taking very seriously what science might tell us about the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligent life forms. That's what the conference was about. I can't tell you that the Vatican found any alien life. I don't think that's what they were looking for, but they were taking very seriously the issue.
You know the history, just like we do. I mean, they've come a long way since Galileo 400 years ago.
Listen to what he says. What do you think
it says about the Church that it's actually looking at this issue?
Well, a great question, Bill. What it says is that although there have been some inglorious moments of relationship of faith and science, the Vatican, and not just Catholics, Christians in general, they brought 30 of the best scientists, the astrobiologists, of the cosmologists, of the astronomers, to tell the philosophers and the theologians what they already know about the possibility of something that could happen. Now, what they're trying to do is get out of the story, get out ahead and say, what if we were to find life outside of this planet? What does that tell us about the doctrine of original sin, of Adam and Eve? And their point here is that we have to allow science to lead us in what is their field without going into it with ideology saying we know that God doesn't exist or something.
I think that's a great point. Now, you as a Roman Catholic priest, you're open to science, is what you're saying, correct?
Without a doubt. Not only open, Bill, but we have to respect science in its own field.
How would it change the Church's teaching then? Well, if you consider for a moment, if you determine that there is extraterrestrial life there.
One thing would be fascinating would be not only extraterrestrial life, but if it were extraterrestrial intelligent life forms. That would definitely make us go back and say, maybe our understanding of perennial truths needs to be updated. Now, the way we look at it is this. It's not about whether or not God was the creator, but rather how he created. It's not a question of whether original sin, this Adam and Eve story, is true or not, but our understanding of how that played out. So it's growing in our understanding of perennial truths.
I think that's an interesting explanation there. And I think also if it were determined, Father, that would be an earthquake, would it not?
It would be, and especially if the Vatican were involved in accepting that. I think we have to make sure that science is not in some way ideologically driven. We have to make sure that faith and religion is not ideologically driven. Faith and reason, they go together.
Well, you represent the Church very well in this segment here. Now, I know they've had the conference. When they determine something, if they do, come on back, okay? Father Jonathan Morris.
If I see anything, I'll tell you.
We may have to update or change what we've always believed to be true. See, right before Noah went through the flood, there were this heavy demonic deception going on. And that's, I think, where we're heading. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, even if it were possible, even the elect. Paul wrote the Galatians church, but though we or an angel from heaven. Interesting way to look at that text. The Greek word for angel is messenger. That's all it is. If we or a messenger from heaven, the Mormon church has picked up on that too. Their messenger from heaven. That brings another gospel. That brings some more truth to us. And Paul says, if that ever happens, if they preach any other gospel other than what we've preached, what's the Bible say there? Let them be cursed. Now, this is going to be a huge point of deception. And that's where we're at. And so I would say to us as believers, open your Bible and study it and believe it and hang on. Amen? Amen. Because I'm telling you, whether in our lifetime or the next lifetime, there will be people who will be able to do miracles and wonders and signs and all that, not under the power of aliens, demons, who may present themselves as intelligent life from another planet. You're like, wow, that seems so crazy. Yeah, it's crazy times we live in. And the deception is here. So with that backdrop, let's talk about giving. I think the point is that we should not lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth. This earth is about done. But rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. One of the things I've always heard preachers preach at funerals is, well, you can't take it with you. I beg to differ. I'm taking everything with me. When I die, my goal is to be absolutely broke, having sent it on ahead to heaven. Doesn't the Bible say there, but lay up for I'm taking it all with me. Because biblically, we can take it all with us if we are generous givers. If we will not put everything that we own into this crazy, mixed up, dying, decaying, insane, deceived, nuts world. It's crazy. And they say that people that believe the Bible are nuts? Really? And that's the point of where we are as believers. Now more than ever, it's time for us to be generous with what we own, to not invest it in this world, to invest it in something that matters, not to just blow it on the craziness of where we're at, but to invest it in ministries and in the lives of people that are eternal, that will have to stand before God someday, and to put it in places that matters, to lay it up for ourselves in heaven. Where we are in the world, I've never been more glad that I'm a Christian. I've never been more glad that I've given. Brenda and I together, this is not me, Brenda and I together have given tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to the church and to ministry and to missionaries over the years. I'm so glad we did that because we still have it. And the Bible is correct. We've laid up for ourselves, for us to enjoy. We've sent it on ahead through generous giving. If you want to be selfish, and if you want to think only about yourself, don't lay up your treasures here where they're going to rust and corrupt and thieves are going to steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where nobody can touch it, and it's there for you when you get there. Man, that's good stuff. That makes me wonder why I waste anything on this planet. Why do I waste anything? It's just in the wind. It's just gone. It burns up. Thieves break through and steal it. Everything rusts. When I give to an eternal cause through the local church and for missions, and you see all the missionary flags here, when we give to these causes, it never goes away. Ever. Sometimes news articles come across the line just in time for a great sermon. So that's what I'm going to do for you in the next 5 minutes. I don't know if you saw in the news this last week that they found in the wild a sheep. Did you read this article? They found a sheep that had 90 pounds of wool on it. It was in the wild, and it had 90 pounds of wool. And so the way I am, and this is the bad part of me, when I study, I always think of sermons. It's hard for me to be very devotional. Because if I read a text, even if I read a news article, I'm building the sermon, baby. And Mama's going to hear about it, and then you are. And so watch this. You don't even have to preach this one. If you just know in Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves, and not an ancient astronaut. I added that, just so you know. That's not in the Bible. So don't wonder which version's He using, all right? God made us. We belong to Him. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. So when I saw this article about Chris the sheep, I thought to myself, that's us. We are the sheep of His pasture. And so I read the article. And you'll be pleased to know I've got 3 or 4 points I'd like to share with you out of the article. I don't need the Bible. Watch this. This is so cool. Because when God calls us sheep, He really knows what He's talking about. And all you have to do is study sheep to learn some great biblical truths. Really. So watch this. So cool. Just from the news article. Chris the sheep strayed from his flock about 5 years ago. That's how he got in trouble. Can you see the train a-coming? You see what happens when we stray from our flock? Sheep always get in trouble when they stray from the flock. Can I get an amen? And poor Chris the sheep needs a haircut. So when he's away from his flock, he has nothing to do but accumulate for himself. And he's accumulated so much, it's now affecting his health. Because the article goes on and says, at the time of his discovery, Chris's wool had grown so large and thick that his eyes were obscure. Can I get an amen? And he could barely walk. Too much stuff blinds you and makes it to where you can't walk. I thought of Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And this is a message to the church of the last days, the Laodicean church. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, you have a lot of wool on you, don't you know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind? Riches absolutely will blind you. Oh, I've got more. The article goes on. The sheer weight of his fleece also made it difficult for Chris to get around, making it more likely he could become dinner for a passing predator. The devil walks around seeking whom he may. James says, they that will be rich fall into trouble every time. Chris was also in danger of falling over and not being able to get back up. If sheep have a large wool coat, too much stuff, they can get on their side and back and be unable to rise, she says. Then basically they go into heart failure and can die. So it is what our life is all about, accumulating stuff. Kills you. And the antidote to that is generous giving. Here's Chris after the haircut. So if I were to sum this up into one spiritual truth, like Andy Stanley tells all of us pastors to do, I would say for your own good, you need to let the preacher fleece you. That's what I say. I mean, I'm like that guy that is holding the sign outside the ball game that says, who am I kidding? I need money for beer. I'm just going to say it. Of course, that's not what I'm saying. There was a word to the last church. Watch this. This will pull everything together, all of the craziness of the aliens and what people are buying into, to the concept of giving. There's one last word to the church right before Jesus comes, and it has to do with all of that. This is so powerful. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, this is the message to the last church. Right before the Lord comes. These things saith the Amen. What he's saying there is if you want to know how it ends, ask me, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. How did God know that the issue of the last church would be, where did we come from? Well, he knew. You tell the last church, the Amen wants to talk to them, and the Amen is the guy that was at the beginning of the creation of God. Forget about ancient aliens. Forget about all that junk. Forget about all that deception. Forget about all that evolution. Forget about all of that junk. Listen to me. I was there and I created you. That's the message of this church. Not, well, you know, if we find aliens, we might have to change, update some of our truths. If you're updating a truth that never was the truth, you can't update a truth. Give me a break. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. I do, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold. I counsel you to take your gold and invest in something that's eternal. That's what God's saying. That's generous giving. Generous giving is not foolish giving. Generous giving is faithful giving. Because if we were to really be honest, there's too many of these Christians in the world. If we were to really be honest. And there's too many Christian denominations in the world that are like that. Where they ought to cut off their wool, make a coat out of it, and keep somebody warm. Can I get an amen to that? The goal is not to accumulate wool. The goal for the church is not to accumulate stuff. The goal for the individual is not to accumulate things. It's to give it away, invest it in eternity, and go into eternity completely bald. I'm almost there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, you're a great group of people to preach to. Thank you for listening today. I think you understand the seriousness of the moment that we're in. There's a bunch of deception going on. Crazy stuff going on. Stay faithful to the Lord. Stay faithful to the Amen. Stay faithful to the one who was at the creation of the beginning, in the beginning of God. Stay faithful to Him. Invest in Him. Don't be deceived by this or that. Don't believe that there's truths that need to be updated. Listen, God has spoken. And He's spoken in His Word. And we just need to believe it and act on it. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to study together. I thank you for a group of people who come on a holiday weekend hungry to hear the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to focus, because the Bible says the deception in the end will be so strong that it almost will deceive the elect. Wow. And so those that are not the elect have no chance, it seems. You say in Thessalonians that you will give such a strong delusion to them that held the truth in unrighteousness and didn't believe. You will give them such a strong delusion that they can't believe. But now we can. All of us can, by faith, believe now, having heard. Help us not to pay attention to the craziness, but to listen to the voice of Christ. Because as it was in the days of Noah, we see it happening here. Huge rise in demonic activity. Statues of Satan in Detroit. Ancient aliens, panspermia. Even the Vatican looking into space, looking for something other than you. God help us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to invite you to stand. And however God has spoken to your heart, we've mostly spoke about generous giving today. Maybe you would look at yourself and you would say, you know what, I am Chris the sheep. And I need to be generous. For the good of others, for God's glory, and for my health. Because I think I'm rich and increased with goods, and the Lord says, no, you're blind. Your riches are blinding you. Be generous. Invest in the gold. You want to buy gold? It's what everybody's doing today. All the preppers. Invest in the gold of Christ and His work. You'll never lose it. Ever. So let's take some time to turn our hearts toward God in prayer. You come and pray if you need to.